Today on Supernormalized, I'm talking with Jenna Harrison. She's a lady of a path that was, first of all, caught up in regular business structures and busyness and craziness that we all get whipped up into. Then she found her new way into a new life, which allowed her to have more freedom and a taste of change that enabled her to actually take that understanding and then gift that to others. This show's about that change. And if you stay all the way to the end, she also teaches you a nice way to get in touch with your intuition, which is really good. She does actually target women as a part of her process of the uncommon way, but there's a lot of nuggets in here for everyone. So please enjoy the show. Welcome to Supernormalized, Jenna Harrison. Jenna, you've been through a life of corporate intensity and life shifts, and then really grasped that change intuitively and moved towards a greater life of freedom and groundedness and found a new way. I'm interested in hearing your story today, so welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It is such a joy and an honor to be here. I really appreciate you having me. And yeah, I think that those nudges were actually happening for me long before I even got to corporate. And yet it was something that, because of conditioning, of course, I just thought that I had to deny. I remember one time specifically when I was in college and was being recruited for kind of a very stressful corporate consulting gig. And there was someone standing up talking, a woman talking about how she, when she had children, she'd started to take over the corporate daycare program. And she was talking about how wonderful that is. And she was saying all the great things. And then she looked over at a friend of hers, a colleague of hers, and she remembered these days where she used to have to work late into the night and sleep there and keep a blouse handy so she could just keep going again the next day. And CJ, she was wearing pearls, and she touched her pearls like longingly, and she looked over at him and she said, like, those were the days, weren't they? And in that instant, I felt this rush, this charge of electricity, because I felt the attraction that I had to that type of life in a very egoic way. And at the same time, in my gut, I felt the strongest rejection of that. And I just knew that I had to tread carefully because there was a life at stake, my life, and the direction I was going to take.
Yeah, it's important to actually recognize that. And when I was in corporate long time ago now, I actually got to that sort of point too with myself. And I was like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Who am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Even one of my other friends, he went and started working for another large company. I said, how's it feel working for the devil? And he was like, oh, the pay's good.
Right. It's amazing what we will do in order to have that security that we believe money brings us.
And I think we're all sold that dream.
Yes.
We sold that dream really hard.
Yes.
And it keeps us all on the treadmill, and then we go and buy ourselves into massive amounts of debt, which then is another noose around your neck and it's another illusionary noose. I mean, it's real if you upset them, but you don't have to be in that, and you don't have to sit there striving continuously for something that's just not even real.
And I would argue that you actually experience more abundance, not less, when you find out where your alignment is and what you are here to do. And that is exhilarating.
Yeah, that's embracing your authenticity, isn't it?
Yes.
In every moment, and what is actually true for you.
Yeah, and it seems like there are always new layers to the onion of what else the universe is asking you to understand or re-remember about yourself and your gifts and your mission here.
Yeah, exactly. So you had a moment when you were driving to work when a podcast flipped your switch way back when. What exactly hit you about that interviewer's vibe? What was who was being interviewed at the time, and what was said that just made you go, oh, this has got to change?
Well, actually, it was an interview, Krista Tippett, was one of the early podcasters. She was a reporter for NPR here in the States, the National Public Radio. And she created a podcast that was all about spirituality. And it was sort of a departure in that day, and I just was instantly fascinated by it. And she was interviewing somebody who had found their calling in life. At that point, I had been struggling for almost two decades at that point, trying to understand what it was that I really wanted to do with my life, what I was really here to do. I felt, you know, multi-passionate before that was a word. I felt like I had many different interests. I was good at all sorts of things. And then when I heard this person talking, I actually felt so much anger towards the universe. I was like, obviously, you've put this desire in my heart, this drive in my heart. Why is clarity eluding me? And I pulled off. I was on my way to my corporate job. I pulled off. I had a good scream and cry. We're being real. And then I just realized that I needed to find the answer. I needed to find the answer because I had such a strong drive for it, and someone else had found the answer, and therefore I needed to do it. I couldn't keep waiting. I think before then I'd been waiting for it. Everybody, it seemed, I was attracting people who were telling me, it will come when it needs to come. It just takes time. It's something only you can figure out for yourself. And so I'd allowed myself to slip into this holding pattern, this waiting pattern. And I hear that a lot now, actually, from clients and new people I speak with, because the world is in tumult, because it's such a difficult time, because things are so busy, I just have to wait a little longer. And that, for me, was my turning point when I decided no more waiting.
Thinking back, you know, for myself, and when I was going through that sort of similar change, I had this, like many people saying to me, that you're going to find your life purpose, you know, and I'm actually having, at the stage of I'm hearing all this, I'm thinking, oh, that's all really good, but I'm looking at all the people around me and I'm having envy for the lifestyles they're leading and what they're doing, and I'm thinking, how did they discover that? Mm-hmm. Right. And I didn't know what a purpose was. I was like, what am I here for? I didn't really know. I'd been down a path of pursuing purpose in a certain sort of way, trying to figure out what that was. And to that point, I really didn't find it. And, you know, when I was younger, and it's sort of something that just grew out of finding that grounded point in myself. And in finding that grounded point, I could actually then grow from there.
I believe that we are so disconnected in the modern world from a pretty clear voice that would give us a lot of guidance if we could tune into it. And so part of the work that I do with women is just freeing up that channel, that ability to hear that guidance. Like I said, I had earlier memories where I was very clearly being led, but it wasn't until later that I ever learned to connect the dots.
I felt like I was a part of other people's dreams.
I feel that. And I feel that story that you shared about looking around at other people and saying, how do they do that? I remember I had a corporate office on Union Square in New York City, and they had a really famous, I probably still do, a famous green market where the farmers would come in from all the surrounding areas. And I'd sit there watching people just browsing, looking for a tomato, looking for a squash at 10:30 on a weekday. And I thought, who are these people? what a luxury. What have they discovered that I haven't discovered? I just longed to be free.
Why didn't you grab somebody and say, how do you do this lifestyle?
Yes, yes. Well, in New York City, they were probably struggling actors, come to think about it.
Right? Yes. So people chase shiny distractions all the time, and how do you help them to spot the real signal from the static that's in their own heads?
Yeah, I actually think it's a much easier process than we would lead ourselves to believe. We stay up in the mind, as I did for so many decades, trying to analyze it, figure it out. But actually, there's when we allow ourselves to really get calm, then we always hear the voice. We often choose to ignore the voice. And that, I believe, is the true tension, right? It's the not wanting to hear. It's the fear that comes up around what might happen if that were true, if I take that leap, if I do that thing. And for a lot of my clients, they're working really hard on their businesses. They have their own businesses, and they're really afraid of whatever is being, you know, maybe scaling back the time that they spend in the office, or they're really afraid of what it would mean to, maybe they've been behind the scenes in their business, and now they're about to step forth and kind of take a front and center stage in order to create more visibility for the work that they're doing. There's always some little thing that is a nudge that's calling them forward. And then there's a lot of fear around why that wouldn't be the best way, why they shouldn't do that thing. And what it's not something that they always know right when they come to me, but it's something that they admit after we work through the reasons why they wouldn't, that yes, they have been hearing that or feeling that, and they have been purposely turning the other way.
Like a denial of true self.
Yes. So I'm really thankful that I do have things to offer women that they feel will satisfy the logical brain, right? They'll say, well, I do need to work less so that fill in the blank, right? So that they can write their book, so that they can do the thing. Or they'll say, I really need to create this, you know, larger business to prove, right, to change my ancestral lineage, to prove that I can do it, to prove that there's going to be security in the generations that come for me. And so there's always something that allows them to enter work with me, thankfully, because there's usually more that needs to surface, and they just needed that, they needed that logical hook in to make them, to allow them to move forward.
Sometimes doubt can creep in during those hard, big shifts. What daily ritual do you recommend for people that keep them locked into?
What a beautiful question. Thank you for that. I actually recommend physical movement very highly, because a lot of my people aren't embodying any of their joy or their excitement. So we do tend to stay in our head. We're sitting a lot. We're rushing from one thing to the next, one responsibility to the next. Maybe you're working and then you're rushing to pick up your child, but then you're also rushing off to go do something else or to meet up with somebody, and then you're rushing to do the next thing. And what we lack in there sometimes is just giving our nervous system the ability to discharge a lot of that tension. So we're carrying all of this tension, but there's no way for our body on a body level to let it go. So I usually recommend some actual movement, right? It could be dancing to a song. Some of my people, they will just go, one found that what worked for her was making a really silly sound just to break herself out of the routine and then just kind of shake her body. So she'd go, and it would make her laugh every time because it was so silly, right? But you need something. Some people will jog in place. Some will do, 3 minutes of jumping jacks or squats or something, just some movement before you kind of center yourself, before you take that, look for that calm. Because it's interesting. I don't know if this is true, actually, but this is what I heard when I was doing a yoga teacher training 10 or 15 years ago, which is that the Ashtanga branch of yoga was actually developed to help young princes focus on their spiritual work and their learning work. So it's a very energetic form of yoga with all sorts of interesting animal poses. And that was really what needed to happen so that they could quiet their bodies and quiet their minds. And I believe that nowadays, you know, that was true for active young boys. But now we're all so spun up that we're basically active young boys. We have that same that same physiology that really needs to be discharged. Yeah. So I think that's the one piece of advice I would give someone is just don't try and stay in your head, discharge some of that tension, and then listen.
Yeah. Sometimes people have to step into the tension though because they've got to actually attend to things.
Yeah, true. So,
yeah. One time, I just want to talk about this idea of being pulled in opposite directions. How do people weigh kid time, for example, and cash flow without one of them winning out?
Oh, such a great question. One of the things that I teach is that time does not create our results. And this is a bit of a mind bender, right? We think that in order for more cash flow, we need to put in more hours. And that is actually conditioned hogwash.
Totally.
Not necessarily true at all. And so we do, we create these, this tension in our mind around the supposed benefits and payoffs. And we think that that's the only way to do it. And my true deep work with women is to help them really stretch into what's possible, right? Mm-hmm. Into maybe that thing that they thought couldn't be that good actually could be that good. And it can become very exhilarating when you start to realize that maybe value is created by something else entirely. Maybe there's something else that creates the value than how many hours I put in. And when I can tap into that, I don't need to put in the hours. I can put in the hours if I want to, but I don't necessarily need to. And sometimes I have people say to me, but I don't know what I would do with the extra time. I don't want to just watch Netflix or something, right? The brain always goes to like the worst case scenario, which is that, of course, they're going to turn into a lazy sloth and they'll never do anything productive with their lives. But the truth is that sometimes all of that striving and working and hustling, like I said, has quieted the inner voice, but it's also quieted our channel with desire. And they've lost touch with really figuring out what they desire, what they want to do, because our work is wonderful and I love my work, but I've also over time, thank goodness, come to love my life. And there's so many things that fill me up that I love to do in life. And I like to think of it as like a beautiful little tasting plate in front of you, and you get to sample some of this and sample some of that. And some of this may be your work, and some of this may be true connection with friends, and some of this may be hiking out in nature, right? But we never want to, we want to be able to see that whole tasting plate because there are some delicious items on it.
How do you help people to step sideways from the success dream into a more healthy, balanced life where they can understand what their desires are and pursue them?
That's a great question. I think I'm going to actually twist it a little bit because to be quite honest, I do not help them step away from the success dream.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I very much help them increase what they thought success was. So because we are able to tune in on what actually creates abundance for them, what actually creates value in their business, they're able to create more wealth, not less. And often for a lot of people, that is their first definition of success, right? Is the wealth, is the security. But typically when people start to realize that what they thought was impossible is actually possible, that they can create wealth in this way, that it could be easy, then the sky becomes the limit. They're like, what else might I be able to do? And that's when my clients end up losing the weight or getting back into some exercise regime or becoming champion pickleball players or whatever floats their boat. Sometimes they move cities. Right? They decide they want to live overseas. All of a sudden, all these things that just seem like dreams become actually very accessible to them, and they're just going to reverse engineer it and make it happen. So I would say that when they look back on what their definition of success was, it's far more limited than they expected.
Mm. Yeah, often people see success as massive volumes of wealth, but then when you drill down into it, it's not the wealth that they're after, that's the freedom that the wealth gives.
Mm, yes.
And they don't realize they already have it.
Yes, yes. Yes, absolutely. It is also a reorientation to what really works for you. You know, my site is called The Uncommon Way. And so it's about what actually is it that you truly want, right? And what is it that you truly are here to bring? And what is the way for you to accomplish that? Because, you know, I have some clients that create their abundance in one ways, others that create them in other ways. There's no cookie cutter formula. And the ride of our life is really figuring that out for ourselves. Where does it flow? Where are we in our zone of genius? What is it that we have to offer to the world? And I think that is the question of our lives. It's what we're here to discover and watch unfold.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any leadership lessons from your experience in the army that you believe every entrepreneur should learn?
100%. Thank you for that. So yeah, to give listeners a background story, I actually, because my husband was in the army, I was able to avail myself of a lot of the leadership classes that they offer. And I was fascinated because I actually grew up, my dad was in the military as well. And that is what created a lot of this desire to kind of, for myself, to rewrite the rules, to be the rebel. I perceived it as so much conformity in that time, and I really wanted to stretch that and do what was right for me rather than what I was told to do. Excuse me. But when I married back into it, ironically enough, and I went to start taking these classes, I thought at the time, I was very curious with the question, how do they take these disadvantaged, often inner city youths, and what, they put them through boot camp or something, and then they come out on the other side as U.S. soldiers? What is that? What kind of voodoo? What kind of brainwashing, right? What, it must be fear-based tactics. Something must be going on. But when I actually started to understand the philosophy and go into the learnings that the senior leaders were being taught, I realized that it was actually about identity. And what they were doing was creating a new identity, a new way for these people, a new self-concept, a new way for people to think about themselves that would far surpass any sort of temporary fear response or anything that, you know, if ever you've had a really hard-driving teacher or coach or something, they can in a short term sometimes stimulate productivity out of you, but it's not going to carry throughout your life, right? It's not going to carry in a way if you're thinking like the U.S. military, if you're training someone, you want them to stay as long as they possibly can, right? You want to avail yourself of that. And so they really needed to find a way to help people see themselves as part of something bigger, part of something great, part of something, you know, fill in the blank, right? And to see themselves as capable and strong and resilient and able to, if necessary, go to war over and over again. And so I found that such an important key takeaway. It's really formed so much of my work. And it's something that I think all leaders need to understand is that it really comes down to who do you believe you are? What do you believe you're capable of? And if you have team members, what do they believe they're capable of? What are they buying into? What are they a part of? Right? That is the best way to create long-term results.
Mm-hmm. Now you've come to this point in your life where you have this new flow and everything. Mm. What does a day in the life of you now look like that you've mastered this unconventional sort of work schedule?
Yes. So I'll just paint the picture of what it looked like before when I was still caught up in it. So when I did finally get clear, I did connect the dots for myself, which, by the way, if anyone's interested in listening, finding, you know, looking for their purpose as well, what I realized was that if everyone says you can connect the dots in hindsight, then the dots must actually be there. Right there, I just needed to change my lens, change my focus in a way that I could actually see those dots. So I started thinking back through memories to really see, like, why does that thing stick in my head? Why was that important to me? And that helped me understand certain themes that had been flowing through my life. So when I finally did understand that my work really was about the uncommon way, it really was about helping people live these very visionary, uncommon lives, then I threw myself into it because I had all of this old conditioning. And so I was working nonstop. And when I had my son, I continued to work nonstop. And I, for 2 years, worked nap time and evenings while being a stay-at-home mom and nursing and doing all the things without a day off. The only time I would take off was one night a week to watch a movie with my husband, but only because I felt so guilty for being a bad wife, right? I was trying to perform in all of these areas, right? I had to be a good enough wife. I had to be a good enough mom. I had to be a good enough business person. I had to, you know, all the stories. I had so many, and I was so bone tired. And as we know now, as I know now, and hopefully more and more people are learning, neuroscience is showing us, is that when we're in that agitated state, it actually shuts down our creativity, our problem solving, our compassion areas of the brain. And so I was not a happy person. I wasn't really a nice person. I was, you know, snapping at people. I feel a lot of guilt about those early years of my son's life because everything was so stressful to me. And when I was able to realize that I wanted a different way and start working towards that, I, of course, did everything I could. I did the therapy, I did the coaching, I did the energy work, I did everything to try and understand how I could unwind these systems from my body. But what it looks like now is I've been able to move the family to Spain. My husband retired early. We live of what we call a blue zone lifestyle. If you're familiar with these pockets of the earth where they tend to live longer, we rarely get in the car. We walk everywhere. We live on hills. We have very strong social connections. We have a wonderful supportive school for my son. And it really just looks like, it looks like choice. That's what it looks like. It looks like being able to decide. You know, I actually lived in Spain when I was younger, so that was my first taste of this different way of thinking. And there was a man who had been very famous in France. He'd been a journalist, a professor. He was very much a Renaissance person. But he had decided to drop out and live on this little island where I was living. And he told me once, he said, "Jen, you know, true freedom is waking up in the morning, stepping outside your house, taking a big yawn, stretching your arms, and then seeing a tree in the distance and saying, I'm going to go see that tree, and then actually doing it." Right? Because most of us say, I need to go, I'm going to go see that tree this weekend, or I want to go see that tree. I've got to put that on my list, right? For on my vision board or something, but they aren't actually doing it. And so to me, true freedom and true agency is about choice.
Yeah, that's powerful. I mean, most of us would put off the seeing of the tree just to our holidays.
Yes.
With these dream holiday destinations, and we put that off to like one time of the year. Like, why is that normal? It's crazy.
Yes. And typically my clients, when they come, they admit, I mean, it's not even an admission, it's just something that they have been working towards, but in a roundabout way that actually is, you know, hurting them more than it's helping them. But they do want it all. You know, they want the successful business, but they also want to be great moms. They also really want to have time off just to breathe and maybe go to a yoga class or to meet friends for lunch. And they also want to be pursuing different things that really light them up. And that's that is the dream, right? To really have it all.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Freedom is the ultimate goal, I think. Mm. Now, if someone told you it's impossible to build a thriving business while working so little, what would you say?
I have heard it before from every industry and from every person. It's so beautiful because I'll have people say to me, well, that's something maybe you can do when you have a team, but I'm a solopreneur, so I couldn't do that. But actually, I have people who have a large team that tell me, well, that might have been fine if I were a solopreneur, but now I have a team to manage as well, so I can't do that. And then I hear that from different industries, different ways in which it would be impossible. And the truth is, some of my clients don't come wanting to work a 3-day week. They come because they're working 60 hours and they would love to work 50 hours. That would be the dream to them. Yes, I know, I know. And so, it isn't necessarily about the 3-day work week. That's actually a metaphor. It's what do you want to create? What does your business look like? Who are the clients you truly want to work with? Right? What is the work you truly want to be doing? And then, you know, what kind of program or what kind of offer do you really want to sell? Let's create that, right? What is possible that maybe you've been thinking isn't quite possible yet? Like, let's go create that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a part of your journey, you actually mentioned that you found your way through intuition as well.
Yes.
What does intuition look like for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. For me, intuition looks, there are two varieties of it. One is the quick little spark of knowing, and the other is the deeper understanding of my next steps. So for instance, sometimes the quick little spark of knowing is spot on. It is the thing that says, let me go reach out to some Australian podcasters and start spreading my message there. Right. And that's cool. Really fun and always a kick in the pants, as we say in the States, always, you know, a good time. But then sometimes that little thing is actually good for one moment or two moments, but then it's not something I'm actually going to continue. And that's really when I want to tune in to the, more of a gut feeling that tells me, even though this seems difficult, this is the way forward. Right? Or even though, for instance, moving here to Spain, oh my gosh, so challenging. I told my assistant, yeah, I'll probably be offline for a few weeks or so while we get ourselves settled. But then, I mean, I'll be back up as normal. And actually, that process was more like a year of getting settled here. It was so, so challenging. But it's that intuition is like a dual flavor. And the one that really gives me my long-term direction is that grounded, quiet knowing.
How do people access that?
Well, they start by doing some exercise to really release the nervousness in the body. I consider it static, right? You need to release the static so that you can tune in to the radio. And so when there's so much static around, you can't really tune into the radio. When I, for instance, take people on retreats and we spend a day or two shedding a lot of that static, there are no issues hearing their intuition. But for those of us who are in the daily life, which I understand, I was there too, I actually started practicing with very, very small things. Do I want to eat Mexican or do I want to eat Italian? And I would tune into my body, right, for the answer. And I would invariably feel a charge, an interest in one more than the other. right? But I would make sure it wasn't about which one is closest, which one makes more sense, which one will my son actually eat the food? It was like, which one am I called to? Now, that wasn't always what I chose. That's a lot of things. People are like, oh, but if I start hearing my intuition, it's going to tell me to do all these risky things. I don't want that to happen. You don't need that at all. You just need the awareness. You are always a being of pure choice. You can always choose what you want, right? But start allowing at least the intuition to speak to you, because if you keep ignoring it, it's not going to talk much.
It's something that you have to exercise.
Yes.
And then recognize through that exercise.
I think of it as, because I'm a woman, of course, I think of it as the shy, quiet girl in class, whom I was that girl. And I think of like slowly lifting my hand, right? And if a teacher would see that and would call on me, I would be empowered to lift my hand more often and say, give my opinion or give my point of view. But if I didn't, then I would start to not raise my hand as high, so that it just became easier not to speak out, because I didn't think anyone was really going to listen.
Mm. Who is your target main audience for the Uncommon Way process?
It is women that have service-based businesses, typically. So they have, it's not a brick and mortar store, although I have had clients that have come to me and said, I know you coach typically people with service-based businesses, but can you help me out too? And then I'm happy if they're really enthusiastic and drawn to the work. Of course, there's some reason that we're connecting. But typically, it's with women who have this ability to move wherever they want or live however they want. And maybe it's they're underutilizing it. And they are really, first of all, they really do want to connect their work to some sort of meaning in their life. They believe in what they're doing. This isn't just kind of the job that, you know, is makes the most sense right now for their family, right? For some reason. Like, for instance, when I was a military spouse, and we were living in other countries, in Germany, in Japan, I wasn't allowed to work there on the economy. The spouses aren't. And so there are a lot of people that start up a business, not because they feel like it's their calling, but because it just is, you know, the time and the place to do it. But my people really do want to create some sort of impact, you know, to find their best, truest expression in the world, right? To leave a legacy of some sort. And then they're also very smart, ambitious women, but they're just no longer willing to compromise on that ambition by saying that I, for instance, can't have a life, or that I can't grow that big, or that I can't, whatever the thing is that might be told to them, or that they might be even wrestling with in their own psyche. And so they do have this calling to create a very uncommon life, something that they're often not witnessing around them, and yet they can't deny the call within themselves.
Sounds like it could be a book.
Yes. Well, who knows? We'll keep touching. Maybe a few years from now. Yeah.
I could see it on Amazon, the Uncommon
Way. Yeah.
So, Jenna, we've come towards the end of the podcast. How can people find you and your work?
Yes, you can find me at The Uncommon Way. It's so easy because it's everywhere. Come to my website, The Uncommon Way. Come to my podcast, The Uncommon Way. Come to Instagram at The Uncommon Way. And I will be waiting with such open arms, because I really believe that when more people start challenging, thinking uncommonly, basically seeing what's possible for themselves, the world changes, right? We need more people who are tapped into what they're here to give now more than ever in the world. And we have important work to do. And I'd love, the more that we can have doing this kind of important work and being a light, being an example to others, living joyfully, creating true connection, the better the world will be.
Thank you for all that you've shared today. I really appreciate your understanding of the Uncommon Way, which is pretty much what we're all about. So again, yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been such a joy, such a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to say goodbye to the listeners. That was a great talk with Jenna. I know that she says that she's all about, you know, focusing on women and women's business and everything, but if you listen carefully in there, there are so many good things about having a greater understanding of where you are in life and what things are actually really important to you. And I'm sure that you would have enjoyed the show if you've listened this far. So if you've listened this far, which I really appreciate. So if you have and you're on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. That's cool. I'd love that. And if you think somebody could really enjoy this episode, please just share it to them. That'd be really appreciated as well. So thank you so much for listening. And until next episode, it's bye for now.